One of the things that I try and do every morning when I get to my office is listen to a devotion and then a Bible reading. I could show you on our website how to sign up for those, and you get them emailed to you. So there's a devotion that you can read. And then the Bible reading, if you read it every day, you can get through the whole Bible in 3 years. Well, sometimes I just listen to the Bible reading. I don't read it, I listen to it and follow along in my Bible. And it doesn't say, hear the Bible reading, it says, listen to it. So you're not just hearing it, you're also wanting to do something with what you're listening to, what you're hearing. Well, that's the way the Bible is, isn't it? God doesn't just tell us a bunch of words so that we hear it with our ears. He wants us to listen, we hear it, and now I'm going to do something with what I've heard. We have an example of that in our study of God's Word tonight, the Old Testament lesson from 1 Samuel 3. Samuel didn't just listen to the Lord or hear what he said. He actually did what God said. And that's important. That's the way you and I live our lives of faith. We hear God's Word, but then we obey it and listen to it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature, and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you gave your only Son, Jesus, to be the light of the world. May we, as your believers, tell others about him, so that Jesus may be known, worshipped, and believed. We pray to you through Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit are one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is from 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20. When you and I are believers, we live differently than the world today lives. Our society is immoral. We see all kinds of immoral things on TV and even TV commercials. Paul warns about that in this Bible reading. As Christians, we live to avoid sexual immorality. We want to live in a way that pleases God. All things are permitted for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are permitted for me, but I will not allow anything to control me. Foods are for the belly, and the belly is for foods, but God will do away with both of them. However, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. God raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then remove the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For it says, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Our psalm reading is part of Psalm 67, This one is about God's gift of salvation being for all people. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May your ways be known on earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May the countries be glad and sing for joy. You guide the countries of the earth. May the peoples praise you, all of them. God, our God, will bless us. After Jesus' baptism, he began his earthly ministry, and he started to call disciples to follow him. Our Bible reading from John chapter 1 is Jesus doing just that with Philip and Nathanael. Notice how he makes these men aware of who he is, because he knows everything. He knows what's going on. And as a result of knowing that Jesus is God and man, Philip and Nathanael do become his disciples, and 10 other men would do the same. The next day, Jesus wanted to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" "Come and see," Philip told him. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Truly, here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Jesus, how do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus replied, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Amen, or truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." God's word for our study are the verses of our Old Testament lesson from 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Dear fellow worshipers, when we have people that want to join our congregation, they go through the Bible information class and study God's Word, and then there's a confirmation ceremony. People stand around the communion railing and they confess their faith and their faithfulness to God. And then one of the special things that happens is that there's usually a confirmation Bible verse that the person wants to remember, something that encourages them and thinks about their faith. I remember my confirmation verse. Maybe you have one too that you remember. One that's kind of popular with people sometimes is Luke 11, verse 28, which says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." So that Bible verse that Jesus spoke is a good one because he says, you don't just hear what I say, but you're going to do what I say. Well, that's a good verse for any Christian to remember because that's really what our faith is. It's hearing what God says and then doing the things that God has said. In this reading from 1 Samuel 3, we have a great example of that in this boy, Samuel, who went to serve with Eli in the temple. He was ready to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do, and that's the way we are too. We're to listen to the Lord, like Samuel did, because he is speaking to us. In humility, we listen to the Lord, and in using our faith, we do what the Lord says. Samuel's mother was Hannah. Hannah and her husband did not have any children, and she prayed to the Lord. And she said, "Lord, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to your service," meaning that he would serve as a priest in the temple. God heard Hannah's prayer, and she did have a son. She named him Samuel. And then when he was probably a teenager, she took him to the temple where he would begin to serve. And Eli was the high priest at that time. During this time, when Samuel was born, was a very difficult time for God's Old Testament believers. They were not listening to God. They were not listening to his word. They were not living as Christians. In fact, God got so angry with the people that he stopped communicating with them. God communicates with us through the Bible, but in Old Testament times, he would give a message to the prophets, and then they would tell the people what God had said. God wasn't doing that. That's why our Bible reading says, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. God was hoping by giving people the silent treatment that they would repent and believe. Well, at this time, it wasn't just the people, but Eli, the high priest, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were part of the problem. Eli was an old man. He wasn't really in control of anything there at the temple. Hophni and Phinehas, they were supposed to serve in the temple, but they were only serving themselves. As a custom, when people brought their sacrificial animals to the temple, then the priest and the high priest, they'd sacrifice them for the people. And it was a custom to take some of that meat then for the high priest and the priest so that they would have something to eat. Well, Hophni and Phinehas didn't care about sacrificing it to God. They would take some of those animals for themselves before they'd even been sacrificed. And then it says in the Bible reading before this that Hophni and Phinehas, they would watch the women in the temple courtyard and follow them home and sleep with them and commit adultery. Eli didn't really say anything about that. So not only were the people straying away from the Lord, now it's Eli and his sons, and that was going to cause a lot of problems. Samuel was different. Samuel wanted to listen to the Lord. We don't know what kind of training he got from his mother, Hannah, but she is a God-fearing woman. Our Bible reading says the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, so he was faithfully serving. I guess I think of Samuel as like an apprentice. You know, he's learning from Eli what to do. Maybe he's unlocking the doors in the temple, or maybe he's lighting all the candles or snuffing them out. All kinds of things he could have been doing, and he was faithfully serving God. And isn't it a contrast? All the people of Israel are turning their backs on God. The spiritual leaders are turning their backs on the Lord. But Samuel wanted to do what was pleasing to God, and he did. He served in the best way that he could. You and I, as believers, we are also servants of God. God has brought us to faith. He's done everything to give us our salvation. So when you and I think about serving the Lord, the word that pops into my mind is humility. We don't deserve anything from God. So we're not out to serve the Lord looking for our own benefit or our own gain. You and I, as believers, we serve the Lord out of thankfulness for what God has done for us. We see how undeserving we are and how much God has done, and that's our motivation to humbly serve. In whatever way God gives us, whatever we can do to serve Him, that's what He expects. So, the Lord speaks to us. He does that through His Word today, not through prophets. The Lord speaks to us, and He wants us to be listening. And like Samuel, we are to humbly serve the Lord with whatever abilities God has given to us. In 1 month, we'll begin the Lenten season. It doesn't seem possible because February is pretty early to start Lent. Well, we have 6 weeks of Lent, and then that seventh week we call Holy Week. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the donkey on Palm Sunday, and then we get to Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, the end of the week, and we know what happens there. Remember on Maundy Thursday when Jesus got the disciples together? They got together to celebrate the Passover. And when they did that, Jesus was in that room, and He was doing something very special for the disciples. It was a custom when you went to someone's house that you would have a servant at the door where people could wash their feet. Well, this is a rented room or a borrowed room. There is no servant to do that. So who's doing it? Jesus. He has a towel wrapped around His waist. He has a basin of water that He's going to use to put the disciples' feet in. And the disciples, at first, they protest. They don't want Jesus washing their feet. That's a servant's job, Jesus. But that's exactly why Jesus did it. He came to serve. He came to give up His life. And that's what He was teaching the disciples to do, too. That they were there to serve the Lord, not for themselves, but to serve God in whatever way that they could. Well, God has the same plan for you and I today as disciples of Jesus. He wants us to serve Him as well. Sometimes, though, it's not all that easy. Maybe we think, well, if I serve the Lord, maybe I'll get something out of it for myself. Or maybe I don't have time to serve the Lord. I'll just let somebody else take care of that. You and I can come up with all kinds of ideas about serving God and why we should or shouldn't do it. And in the end, it's almost like we don't want to and we don't need to serve the Lord sometimes. We'd rather let others take care of it, and I'm not all that concerned about other people. Maybe that's the attitude. It's good to remember who we are. We're just humble sinners. We don't deserve anything from God except His punishment. You and I should really be serving in humility, realizing who we are and what God has done for us. And now serving the Lord, that's just a way to show our thankfulness for all that God has done. And that's what He wants us to do. God is speaking to us through His Word, and we're listening to Him. In humility, we're listening to the Lord. And then in faith, you and I want to do what God has said. It's easy to see how faithful Samuel was to the Lord. And then you heard this part in the Bible reading about Samuel sleeping, and three times he hears the Lord's voice but doesn't recognize it. Our Bible reading said that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. That doesn't mean that Samuel didn't believe. He had his faith, but he had never heard God speaking to him before, like the other prophets had. But he would, because he was about to become a prophet. So the third time, Eli realizes that this is the Lord talking to him. So he tells Samuel what to do. Next time he calls, you say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And that's what happened. God came back a fourth time and said, "Samuel," and then Samuel gave the answer, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening, I'm your servant." Well, the Bible reading would go on to say what message Samuel was to give to the people of Israel and to Eli and to Hophni and Phinehas, because there were going to be some repercussions for the things that they had done or not done. The people of Israel, they were going to go to war, and they would be defeated, many of them killed. Hophni and Phinehas, they would be killed in that battle too, the same day. Eli was going to hear about what happened to his two sons, and the Bible says he falls backwards in his chair and hits his head and breaks his neck, and he dies. And then later on in the Bible reading, it says that because of their sinfulness, when they were to serve the Lord, Eli's family would be cursed forever. Now that's a lot for the boy Samuel to say to Eli, but he did. He told him exactly what the Lord said, and that's what a prophet does. He tells exactly what God has said, whether it's good or bad. Samuel faithfully served the Lord, and that would continue as he became a prophet and spoke God's word to God's people in the future. God wants you and I to listen to what he says. That means I hear it, and then I do what it says. The third commandment is really the one that deals with listening to God's word. The third commandment is remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We should fear and love God that we do not despise preaching in his word, but regard it as holy, gladly hear and learn it. The sin of the third commandment is despising God's word. If I despise something, I think of it as worthless. So you and I, we're to listen to the Lord. He's speaking to us through his word. But then the temptation is to despise it. How do you despise God's word? Well, I can despise it if I have the time to listen to what God says, but I say no, I'm going to do something else. I can despise God's word if I don't set aside my time, like the third commandment talks about, and now I don't have any time. I'm too busy doing all these other things. I can even despise God's word if I come to church and I stand in the pulpit or sit in the pew and I don't listen to it. I hear it or I speak it, but I don't do what it says. It's very important for you and I not just to hear what the Bible teaches us, but to use it in our lives. And that's what the Old Testament people failed to do. They heard what God said, they just weren't going to do it. And there's bad things that happen when you don't listen to what God has to say. Rather than think about it as a burden or something like that, think of what a privilege it is that God speaks to us through the Bible. He used human writers to write it. He gave them every word. This is his word. And he's written it for you and me. He's written it so that we can know our salvation. He's written it so that our faith can be strong. He's written it so that we can be strong and get home to heaven. That's what God wants for us. And that's what we have the ability to do by our faith in Jesus. God is speaking to us. You and I are listening. In faith, we want to do whatever it is that God has said. I'm going to give you a list of Bible names and see what they all have in common. First is Eve, and then Cain, and then Lot's wife. We don't know her name. And then after that, it's Peter and Judas. What do they all have in common? Well, God told Eve, don't eat from that tree, and she did. God told Cain, Eve's first son, Cain, you got to watch out. You hate your brother Abel. He says, sin is crouching at your door. You got to get rid of your anger. But Cain did it, and then he ended up killing Abel. After that, we have Lot's wife. Remember how God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? He sent angels in there to get Lot and his family, that was Abraham's nephew, get Lot and his wife and his daughters out of there before they got destroyed. And the angel said, don't look back. Well, Lot's wife didn't listen. She looked back, and then she turned into a pillar of salt. Peter was told by Jesus, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, I'm not. And Judas, Jesus knew that he was going to betray him and showed his love for him. Judas didn't need to take his own life, but he did. He didn't listen to Jesus and his loving voice and forgiveness. People listened to what God said and then didn't do what God said. And in every case, there was a big problem, a disaster. The devil would like nothing better than for you and I to do the same thing, to think our Christianity is just hearing this and knowing it, but then we don't have to live that way, as if we're Christians and we're saved, so now we can live how we want to live. But that's not what God says. God has given us the Bible not for his own good, but for ours. And he's given us opportunities to hear his word so that we can grow in our faith and stay strong because he knows all the temptations that are out there. What a privilege, again, to have our faith. What a privilege that God is still here with us, trying to keep us strong. What a blessing you and I will have someday when we remain faithful to the Lord and live with him in heaven. We want to remember who we are as Christians. What a blessing to have our faith, to hear God's word, and to obey and listen to it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. For our confession of faith, we'll use the third article of the Apostles' Creed. This is about the work of the Holy Spirit. We confess together. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. We will continue with our prayers. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us out of the darkness of sin and into the light of faith. You have given us eternal life and have called us to serve you while we are here. We ask you to keep us faithful and true to our high spiritual calling. Send us your Holy Spirit so that by his grace he may strengthen our faith and keep us from falling away from you. Do not permit us to stray from your word at all, and help us through the diligent use of the scriptures to grow in our knowledge, to abound in faith, to be strengthened as we live as Christians. Enable us both by word and deed to show our faith to this sinful world. Help us to subdue our sinful flesh and prevent us from being dazzled by the sinful attractions of this world. Dear Father, create in us humble hearts so that daily we confess our sins. For Jesus' sake, forgive us and put our consciences to rest. He has forgiven and forgotten our sins. Fill our hearts with such thankfulness for your salvation that we are eager to live in a way that pleases you. Keep everything that is sinful away from us, sinful thoughts, sinful words, sinful actions, anything that does not glorify your name. Cause every Christian virtue to be found in us so that we may live as your believers. Heavenly Father, be our strength, our hope, and our light in this dark world. Guide and keep us through the years that remain until by your grace we come to eternal life. We pray this in Jesus' name, as we also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.